Tonight, what I'd like to do is simply give you a thought that hopefully can stick with you. Here's the thought. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. It's just a thought, and this is a thought, hopefully, that will help you with your prayer life. I heard it as a part of a sermon, and it really helped me, and so I want to give it to you. All right, 1 John chapter 1 is where we're going to start, and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you please tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help us. Our folks come on Wednesday night, and we've got children that are in the Bible clubs, and we've got folks over there working. Thank you so much for them. Thankful for the testimony tonight. Charles is telling his dad some Bible stories. Lord, I pray they're learning those Bible stories over there. They get them down right, and they lay a foundation upon which to build their lives. Tonight, the teens are there with Tony and getting instruction in doctrine from the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'll strengthen them through that doctrine, impart those words to them, and I pray, Father, as they grow, that they'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I pray for us tonight, Father, that this little thought from the Scripture will be a great help to us in our prayer lives. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, in 1 John chapter 1, notice one characteristic of God in verse 5. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So what we see then is that God is light, and we know from reading the Gospel of John that when Jesus Christ came, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But the problem with men is that they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and so many men didn't follow Him. But He's light. God is light. And when He came, John chapter 1 says, the darkness, that is the darkness of this world, comprehended it not. And if you think about our universe, tonight the sun has set and it's dark outside. God put the sun and the moon and the stars in the firmament called heaven to give light upon the earth. But on the other side of outer space is a body of water, and on the other side of that body of water is the third heaven, and out there is God. And God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay? Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're told that we are to walk in that light. If we walk in that light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read this. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, look at verse 14 to get some context here. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, watch it until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." That's Jesus Christ. "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." So when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He is now in the presence of that light of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that He's dwelling in the light, but He says, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. So that light is so bright, and that light is so holy, so godly, that Jesus Christ can dwell there, and yet we are told to walk in the light. But it's a light, the Bible says, which no man can approach unto. Do you see that? So it seems to be somewhat contradictory that we are told to walk in that light, and yet Jesus Christ has approached that light that no man can approach unto. And we truly do live in a world of darkness. So here's the thought. The question then is, how do we walk in that light and have fellowship with Him in that light when it's a light that no man can approach unto? Turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This isn't the way that the thought I'm giving you was conveyed to me, but it's the way that I see it and convey it to you. Psalm 91, look at verse 1. So I said tonight it's just a thought, and here's the thought. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. So in this passage, making a spiritual application then, I see this. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We're to walk in the light, but that light is a light that no man can approach unto. So what we do is we dwell in a secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place of refuge. It's a fortress. It's a place where we meet with God in trust. In other words, as we get close to the Lord, there is a place allowing us to approach to a light that no man can approach to when we are in the shadow of the Almighty. So that it's like this. If he's above me, there's God, and then I'm in the shadow of the Almighty, I can approach to that light because I'm in the shadow. Whereas if I step out from here, then I have lost. What does that mean? That means as if the light moves, then I have to move with the light. Wasn't that kind of what it was for the Jews when they're in the wilderness? When that pillar of light went, then they went and they stayed with it. It was a cloud by day, and it was a light by night, and they stayed with that. So what I need to do is get into that secret place of the Most High so I can abide in the shadow of the Almighty and stay close to that light without getting out from underneath it. And a great way for you and I to approach the Lord is to have, in effect, a secret place of the Most High. When Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was teaching His disciples about prayer, and I realize we're in the Sermon on the Mount here, when the Lord was teaching His disciples about prayer and about giving and things like that, He taught them something that's very similar to what you're hearing tonight. Look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And again, we're going to deal with a spiritual application here because doctrinally we're talking about something that primarily applied to Israel and the kingdom of heaven. But in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Well, where are the men? They're in darkness. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is where? In secret. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth where? In secret, shall reward thee openly. So what we benefit personally in our lives, in our prayer lives, if we have a secret place. Jesus called it a closet for these guys, but if we have a secret place where we can approach the Lord in undistracted prayer, under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not literal, it's spiritual. but a place where we meet with God and approach to a light that no man can approach to unless we approach in the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High, a place of prayer. Do you understand? Do you see the thought? Now, when I heard that, I like to, as you've heard me say it, when I pray, I like to walk and pray. So we have this abandoned golf course that's not far from our house, and so I can get on the cart path there, and I've got it all alone, and talk to the Lord about things, and He and I have sorted out a lot of things there, and it's been good. But when I heard that mentioned in a sermon that really didn't deal with this matter, just that thought came, I thought, well, where in my house do I have such a place? And so I thought about it, and I thought of a place, so I went there, and when I got back after I heard this, and I said, okay, this is going to be my secret place. And I'm going to tell you something. It has had an effect. It's had an effect on my prayer life, a beneficial effect. For whatever reason, I'm not an ooey-ooey, mystic type thing. I'm just saying where you've got a place in your house that is dedicated for that meeting with God and nothing else. And you think of it in the sense of being under the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place of the Most High. There is a communion with the Lord that is completely undistracted. As much as I like to walk and pray, there's still distractions. You know, a bird will fly by, or noise will go by, or a siren will go off. So I encourage you with this thought. Think of a secret place in your home or somewhere, but I say in your home, that will be your secret place of the Most High, where you can abide under the shadow of His wing and draw nigh unto a light that no man can approach unto. A place where you can commune with the Lord in secret, like Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, 6, 7 said. And see if it doesn't have a beneficial effect on your fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And if it doesn't have an effect on your prayer life, where you sense that you are, I hesitate to use the word sense because it's not sensual, but where you are in undistracted communion with the Lord and have His undivided attention and He has your undivided attention. Pass it along to you. Might be something that'll do you some good. Father, thank You tonight for an opportunity to open the Bible and see something in here that can be very beneficial to us. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You'll use this to draw us closer to You for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.